Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about the Holy Spirit, the gift, the precious gift that Jesus described as the promise of the Father. The central gift of the Christian life is the Spirit, and we're given the Holy Spirit by virtue of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension into glory of the Son of God, who took on human flesh and became one of us. And he, in his human flesh, was perfectly united to the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus passed from death to life and began the new creation in him, the new creation means humanity in Jesus has now gone beyond death, has passed from death to life into an existence beyond death. And that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit now, can be given to human beings who open their hearts to the good news of the saving message of Jesus, to be brought into relationship with him through repentance, through baptism, and entering into his church. That gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us. That's what we've been talking about so far this week. And I wanted to press in on the meaning of the promise. St. Peter, of course, in his, I think, second letter, talks about rejoicing in the fact that we're given the precious and very great promises of God. The Bible is filled with promises to us, really hundreds, thousands of promises from God that you can take every one of them to the bank. But the central promise is the coming and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means ultimately the indwelling of God in human hearts, where human beings are saved by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus and are brought to life by his Spirit, and we become temples of the Holy Spirit. We become children of God. He gave us power, John the Apostle said. He gave us power to become children of God. And the power is the Spirit of God that's given to us. We share in Christ's own Spirit, and God's own Spirit. That's how you become a child of God. And that's what has to happen for salvation to happen. That's what salvation is. Having our sins forgiven, having being plunged into baptism, and rising as children of God by the miracle of the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or whatever device. You can download them onto whatever device works for you. While you're on the website, I encourage you just browse it. There's a lot of good material there, a lot of free stuff, booklets, articles that will feed your spirit, will strengthen your mind, your will, and give you some courage in these difficult and challenging times. There's lots of videos there from our television programs that you can access. It can lead you to our YouTube channel as well. And then I encourage you also to think about getting the Renewal Ministries app. That's probably the simplest way to access everything. Just go to the App Store and type in Renewal Ministries app and download it. It's free, and you'll be able to get at our radio programs, television programs, everything we're doing whenever it's convenient for you. I ran across a beautiful quote from Father Brendan Manning, trying to describe in his own words what we've been talking about this week, this new life in the Holy Spirit, the living in the promise of God. He said, "The gospel is absurd and the life of Jesus is meaningless unless we believe that he lived, died, and rose again with but one purpose in mind, to make a brand new creation. Not to make people with better morals, but to create a community of prophets and professional lovers, men and women who would surrender to the mystery of the fire of the Spirit that burns within, who would live in ever greater fidelity to the omnipresent Word of God, who would enter into the center of it all, the very heart and mystery of Christ, into the center of the flame that consumes and purifies and sets everything aglow with peace and joy, boldness and extravagant, furious love. This, my friend, is what it really means to be a Christian." It's a very good description of it. To be Christian comes from, you know, means to be christened and to have the anointing of the Christ given to us. And the anointing of the Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's the messianic anointing of Jesus. So the gift of the Spirit is the gift par excellence. And friends, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have a capacity to enter very deep fellowship with God that begins here on earth, and then it will be completed perfectly and fully, and we will come into the very thing we were made for, the only thing that ultimately will satisfy us. I mean, we all know that there's plenty of things on earth that for a time can give us some sense of satisfaction, can give us some sense of contentment or pleasure. But all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, everything on earth falls short of what we really long for. Nothing can quite sustain us. Nothing can quite fill us the way we have a longing to be filled. Nothing can integrate us and make us whole and live at peace and just feel alive at the level we long for. We only get glimpses in this world. This is why it's a constant reminder that this world is not our home, that there's something fallen about this world. There's something limited. There's something that causes us, no matter what, to ultimately, despite moments or periods of time on earth, we feel like, wow, I'm connecting to everything around me. I'm at the top of the mountain. Everything's going well for me. That will ultimately fade. And ultimately, it will all get taken away when you die. When you go through that aging process, when everything, your mind, your physical powers, your emotional powers, your imagination, your influence in the world, your bank account, everything slowly separates from you. This is the reality of the dominion of the powers of sin and death. These are the powers Jesus had to destroy. These are the powers that he conquered, the powers that could not hold him down. And what the reason it couldn't hold him down is because he's the Son of God and the Spirit of God was within him. And he gives to you and to me that same spirit. So ultimately, even though our biological life passes away, the life of God in us will raise us from the dead and lead us through death into life after death, into eternal life. So thanks be to God for this great gift. And Father's absolutely right. And it's important for us in this world to know and to walk with a living awareness that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And we've been given a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life and a power to do the things Jesus has commissioned us to do, to walk in the power of the Son of God, is to walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And all of this, as I mentioned yesterday at the close of the program, all of this is possible. That is the giving of the Spirit and living in the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, because Jesus has been glorified. John the Apostle told us, not until Jesus entered into glory. What does that mean? When Jesus himself in his flesh entered into the presence of God the Father, and he was clothed in glory, in the renown, in the majesty, and the sheer weight and power of the almost unimaginable greatness of God the Father. And his beloved Son is home, and his beloved Son comes back home, having completely identified with the human race, taking on human flesh. And so in Jesus, the human race enters into glory, and a new beginning, a new creation is made available to us and begins to flow from him. And Jesus said, then whoever believes in him and is baptized into Jesus, is baptized into the Holy Spirit, these waters of life begin to flow in every single one of us. Anyone who says yes to Jesus, friends, it doesn't matter whatever you're struggling with. It doesn't matter if you're financially broke. It doesn't matter if you're disappointed. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter if you're on the top of the mountain and you've got all the money in the world, or you're the smartest person on the planet, or you're the least academically gifted person on the planet, or you're struggling with so many hardships in this world, or you've been abandoned by people who should be loving you. You're sick, and whatever it is, friends, whatever hardship or whatever victories, everything in this world is temporary. And the hardships and the difficulties are real, but they're limited. And everything on this earth, the scripture tells us, will be a slight momentary affliction, which will turn into an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare if we live and die in Christ. If we live and die in Christ, nothing in this world will ultimately satisfy us but this anyway, right? So a slight momentary affliction, which will give way to an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. I'm going to read a set of passages about the glory of Jesus, just for us to reflect on this morning in the last few minutes of the program. Because Christ has been taken into glory. They used to say at Mass, the memorial acclamation, one of them was Dying, he destroyed our death. Rising, he restored our life. He will come again in glory, right? And so here's a few passages. Jesus is glorified. 1 Timothy 3:16. This is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated in the spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations. He was believed on in the world, and he was taken up into glory. That's Paul's summary, a simple summary in just one sentence, really, or two sentences, of the mystery of who Jesus is. What is the mystery of Catholicism? What do we believe? What we believe is Jesus was manifested in the flesh. That is, the incarnation actually happened. God entered his own story in the womb of Our Lady. He was manifested in this flesh, and people saw him and walked with him and talked with him and heard his teaching and saw his miracles and saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him crucified. That's how he was manifested in the flesh. But then he was vindicated in the spirit. What does that mean? It means the spirit raised Jesus from the dead. This is the one of all the prophets, of all the people with all the ideas in the world, all those who claim to have the right idea about what this is all about. They all remain in the ground. It's Jesus who was vindicated as the one true Son of God, the one who knows what he's talking about. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was totally vindicated. It goes on, he was seen by angels. That is, he was seen by angels, who was raised up to heaven, right? He preached among the nations. The gospel went forward, not only to the people of Israel, but to the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world. It's a gospel of good news that's meant to go to the whole world. Jesus said the reason he came was to preach the kingdom of God. He brought the kingdom in his own person. He's the king of that kingdom and that new rule that will be established and will reign forever. He was believed on in the world. So the apostles preached the gospel to the nations. Across the world, people began to believe in him, and he was taken up into glory. That's our destiny if we're baptized into Jesus, if we're living in him, and if we die in him. John 1, chapter 14, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father. So John is declaring what the apostles saw. We beheld the great glory and majesty of God in the person of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. Upholding the universe by his word of power. You get some sense of the majesty of Jesus and what the glory of Jesus is about. He reflects the glory of the Father. He shares the very nature of the Father. We declare that in the Creed every weekend. And he upholds everything by the word of his power. Colossians says everything was made for him and through him. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 4. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Romans 9, 23. In order to make known the riches of his glory, Paul says, he goes forward to proclaim the gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to make known the riches of his great glory. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. Paul describes Jesus as the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of all glory, and he wants to share that glory with you and me if we say yes to him and we radically pursue him in his church until he calls us home to be lifted up into his glory. Friends, have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.